solutions to the ecological challenges we face as we work to create a healthier future for our community and the planet.
And good evening and welcome to Eco Radio KC. My name is Mike Murphy, filling in for Natural E. Here are your headlines. Democracy Now! Reports, Obama proposes plan to protect Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge from drilling. In environmental news, President Obama has announced a plan to designate 12 million acres in Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge as wilderness in an effort to ban oil and gas drilling in the area. President Obama said Alaska's National Wildlife Refuge is an incredible place, pristine, undisturbed. It supports caribou and polar bears, all manner of marine life, countless species of birds and fish, and for centuries it supported many Alaskan native communities. But it's very fragile. Congress needs to approve any wilderness designation, but the Interior Department will start managing the area under that level of protection until congressional action is taken. The Washington Post is reporting the Interior Department is also planning to place part of the Arctic Ocean off limits to drilling. MidwestEnergyNews.com reports that rural electric cooperatives in states across the Midwest have been investing in community solar in recent years, and now Missouri is joining their ranks. A co-op that serves about 18,000 customers just north of Kansas City is starting construction on a 100-kilowatt system and will be the first electric co-op in Missouri to offer community solar to its members. The Platte Clay Electric Cooperative decided to take the plunge after three surveys of members in recent years showed consistently robust support for renewable energy and for solar in particular, according to the co-op's communications director, Cheryl Barnes. It's estimated that the system to be installed next to Platte Clay's headquarters in Kearney, Missouri, will generate about 218,000 kilowatt hours per year, the amount typically consumed by about 14 households, Barnes said. Once production begins, a live monitor of power generator will be viewable on the co-op's website, which is pcec.coop. Construction is to begin in mid-February and to be completed by the end of March at the latest, according to General Manager Mike Torres. And Kansas.com reports that Gary Mason, co-founder of Wichita Environmental Cleanup and training firm ISI Environmental, has been named Deputy Secretary of Environment for the Kansas Department of Health and Environment. He will oversee enforcement of the state's environmental regulations. Mason has sold his share of the company to his wife, Karma, and their children. Mason said he will totally separate himself from the business as of February 15th when he takes the state position. I believe I can operate with no conflict of interest, he said. If there's something I'm involved in and I feel because of my previous interest that I do have a conflict, I would defer that directly to the secretary. Mason has held key roles in government relations with the state Chamber of Commerce and the Wichita Metro Chamber of Commerce, both of which backed him with money and campaign ads. Joe Spees of the Kansas Sierra Club was less enthused about the pick. We would prefer somebody with a more independent science background to look at the problems that we're facing right now, he said. And the Prairie Village Post reports, for the past year, the Prairie Village Environmental Committee has battled around the idea of new regulations aimed at reducing the use of plastic bags in retail stores in hopes of stemming litter in the city and slowing up the pile of non-biodegradable mass in landfills. On Monday, the group took the first steps towards bringing a formal proposal on the matter before the governing body. Members of the Environmental Committee received permission from the City Council to begin surveying residents and retail businesses in the city to get their feedback on the idea, which committee members said is still unrefined at this point. The group has looked at similar initiatives in other cities, ranging from outright bans on single-use plastic bags to laws requiring stores to charge customers a fee for the use of such bags. The committee will begin talking to retailers about their feelings on the matter in the coming weeks. They anticipate putting a formal presentation together for council consideration in the next several months. And EarthFirstJournal.org reports nearly 3 million gallons of salt water, and as yet unknown amount of crude oil have leaked from a northwest North Dakota pipeline into a creek that feeds into the Missouri River. Officials have called the leak the largest of its kind in state history. The leak in the 4-inch saltwater collection line owned by Summit Midstream Partners LP and operated by subsidiary Meadowlark Midstream Company was reported to the state on January 7th, according to Reuters. Some of the brine made it to the Missouri River, said the Williston Herald reported, and the state found high readings of contamination at the confluence of the Little Muddy and Missouri Rivers southeast of Williston, according to Carl Rockman, the director of water quality at the Department of Health. Williston sits in the middle of North Dakota's oil boom, and the salt water is said to be a byproduct of hydraulic fracturing or fracking. And now we're going to turn the program over to Mr. Richard Mabian, who will be interviewing Bill Griffith about solar energy, and we will be taking your calls.
Thank you, Mike. Good evening, everyone. This is me again. Seems like I'm here a lot this month. This is going on my second, third, or fourth time that I've been on the air. Yes, things are going fine. Now, this weather, oh, man, I can't say enough about this weather. There's two puzzling things we've had this month. I mean, this has been going on here lately that I think deserves some kind of consideration from us all. And the weather is one, and the other is the gas prices. You know, for those, I'm not going to call myself a doomsdayer as much as a person who believes that the collapse of our way of life is inevitable. Or a David Corten student, peak oil was made to be very important as far as the decisions that we make on this planet. And the reason that the price of gas had escalated as it had in the last few years was because of trying to get people to cut down on its use and the fact that we're going to use it up. 20 by 2050 will be on the lowest end of all fossil fuel that this country's ever known. So to all of a sudden see gas go down to $1.70 and $1.80 a gallon was very perplexing for someone like myself, because that just allowed people to use it more. But that's one issue that I'll always be concerned about. The other one is the weather. God, man, it's just been unbelievable. If there's still, I won't even deal with it from the standpoint of the climate change deniers. I'm more concerned about us as a human race and the effect that the weather doing what it's doing is having on us as far as our metabolism and our life. You know, I'm sure it's having some negative effects on a lot of people. Well, with that said, let's try to go to a better part of the show. You know, as part of my commitment to you as a listeners, I'm constantly wanting to find things to help us learn or educate each other together, however you want to put it. And tonight is one of those shows. So get your phones ready. I'm going to give you the number out first, because I'm definitely opening up the lines for you to call in. That'll be 816-931-5534. 816-931-5534. We're going to be talking about solar, mostly solar panel installation on your homes and businesses. And with me here in the studio, I have who I consider to be my leading authority on the subject. His name is Bill Griffith. Bill, will you introduce yourself and let them know who you're working with, please?
Hi, my name is Bill Griffith, and I wear a couple of hats. I'm the energy chair for the Kansas chapter of the Sierra Club. I've done that for the past few years, and I've also in the past been the conservation chair and also the state chair for the Sierra Club. So that's certainly one of my hats. And then I also work for a solar company in Kansas that deals with Kansas and Missouri. So I'm very familiar with issues for the folks out there that might be interested with questions about solar, where it's at now, where it's going, how can you get it on your home or business or nonprofit, what needs to be done there. So a variety of things we can look at, where are we at as far as federal tax credit, timing on that, rebates, you know, in Missouri, possibly other things on solar. What's going on at Sugar Creek's City of Independence, up there at Platte Clay? What's KC Pinnell doing? So there's a variety of things we can talk about as far as solar. And, in fact, we could actually link it a little later, Richard, to the gas prices. We can talk about that a little bit. Right now, solar and oil, they don't cross very much. So the price of oil doesn't really affect solar. But the question is solar going to affect the price of oil in the future? And there's been some interesting news in Kansas City lately that may be a harbinger to that.
Okay. Well, as I told you, listeners, I was going to bring it to you. And that's exactly what we got here tonight. You heard the list of areas that he is capable of covering. So this is the person you've been waiting to talk to. Whatever that problem may be, whatever that concern you may have, and regardless of what we're talking about, if you have something that you want to ask, I want you to get on those phones, 816-931-5534. 816-931-5534. Now, Bill, the people know about solar. I mean, we've hearing about it. I mean, there's a lot we could talk about it, and I'm not going to just leave Missouri out because they're part of this. But you're doing something unique in Kansas. Tell people about what's that about?
Well, in Kansas, one of the things that's most interesting about solar there, just backing up, Missouri has had these rebates for solar, which have been great. And they are diminishing or they have run out in certain areas. Kansas did not have that. However, there's been leasing going on with solar. And it started in California. Then, you know, spread to Arizona, Nevada, places like Hawaii, places like that, where you can get solar put on your home or business for no money down, no money up front. And then you have a lease. And the leases out there have been 20 years. The lease that is available in Kansas is only 15 years, which I think is really cool. And the other cool thing is you have an option of buying it out if you want. Where out west, the way I understand it, you cannot buy out the lease. And I think that's because in Kansas, you know, we're working with small town banks. And, you know, they're more for the little guy. I know the banks out in California, or the businesses out in California are using some of the bigger banks, and they have a lot tougher rules on that.
Well, that was one of the things that also attracted my attention for everybody to hear about, was that Cromwell was able to establish a relationship with a small town bank, kind of, you know, and that's, I like that in Kansas, that we can have those kind of relationships that can end up being a benefit for all of us who live here, and that was fantastic. Now, I want to get this concept of no money down. Now that means that if I wanted solar on my home, I could call you, and if everything was status quo, the way it's supposed to be, I get it.
Yeah, and some people go, well, how the heck can that happen? And really what it deals with the federal tax credit. The federal tax credit through the end of December 2016 is 30%. The bank gets the 30% tax credit, and because of that, that's where their margin is, where it can be offered a zero down. They will also depreciate the asset since they own it, the solar panels, the inverter, you know, the wiring. They will depreciate that over 5 years. So they're not really loaning this. This is actually a tax break for them against their farm loans, their car loans, their home loans, things like that. So that's why they can do this with zero money up front. And then the great thing about it is, you know, if you're with Westar or KCP&L or whomever, they want you buying electricity from them basically till you're pushing up daisies. Where the bank, the lease is only a certain amount of time, 180 months or less if you wanted to buy it out. And at that point, you're done with it. So it certainly gives you more control over your energy future, you know, rate increases, things like that, you can get solar, and money did not come out of your pocket to start with on this. And so it's really good innovation, and about 70% of our clients are going with the lease in Kansas.
Okay, well, we're going to stop here for a second and take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to have you to take us on a step-by-step procedure for getting this installed on your house.
Some strange-looking people behind the barbed wire fence. My first impression was, why are they bringing us to an insane asylum? Little did I realize that pretty soon I'll be one of them.
We hear the testimony of two Auschwitz survivors who are still trying to make sense of what they saw. I'm Maureen Fiedler. That's next
Tuesday
time
at noon, right before The Jazz Disciple.
Support for 90.1 FM provided by Folk Alliance Music Fair Trade Show, featuring new and vintage music gear, vintage vinyl, local and regional music stores, music organizations, and local media outlets. Thursday, February 19th through Saturday, February 21st from noon to 6 p.m. and on Sunday, February 22nd from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can buy, sell, trade, or get your stringed instrument appraised. For ticket and pass information, folk.org.
This Tuesday at 6 p.m. is Transit Talk on Radioactive Magazine. What would happen if you decided to be car-free in Kansas City? Host Janet Rogers speaks with Sarah Madrid, Mike Lewin, and David Johnson about how they use public transit to manage without a car in the Kansas City region. Join us Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Radioactive Magazine on 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio.
Hey, I'm back here again. Okay, Bill. Before I went off, I said we was going to have you, when we got back, to give us a little blow-by-blow description of how people are able to get this on the house. So I'll use myself as an example. Here I am. I got a house. You didn't came out and you didn't gave me your spiel about the leasing, and I didn't ask all my leasing fearful questions. And now I'm ready to proceed with getting these solar panels on my house. What happens?
Well, first we look at the last 12 months of your electric bill to just see how you and your family behave as far as your power load, because we wouldn't want to give you too many panels, because in that case you would be giving free electricity back to the utility. So we want to try to stay right below that if possible. So we're going to analyze that. We're going to look at your roof or ground if you're out in a little more of a rural area and you have a place there. We're going to look at shading issues. Things like that. You know, we're going to look at Google Earth and take a look. And then we're going to come up with a proposal for you to look at. It will show both a lease and a purchase. It'll show you how much the lease would be, how much energy the panels would put out, and approximately how much you're going to save over the years from the utility. And we also look at the historical rate increases of the utilities to try to project what it's going to be. And we take that out 25 years because the warranty on the panels are 25 years. The panels last far longer than 25 years. It's just that's the warranty. So we take it out 25 years to look at. And you say, hey, this looks good. We'd like to go ahead with it. I go, great. We'll have one of the people from the bank give you a call.
And let me throw that number out there once again. That's 816-931-5534. 816-931-5534.
So we have someone from Mid-America Bank will send you an email and go, hey, when's a good time to call? And then they're going to call, and they're going to talk to you and ask you the same questions as if you were going to lease a car, get a boat loan, things like that. It's just your basic banker questions there. And when you get the green light on that, they send an email to us, and then we go out and we double check the measurements, go, hey, this is what it's going to look like, this is what you're looking at, that's what you want, and all that, and just double check that. And at that point, the bank generates a lease, and you go over it and sign that, and then we start the process. We get in contact with the utility to start the net metering agreement.
Explain net metering.
Yeah, net metering is, in the day, you may generate more electricity than what you're using. So it goes back to the utility, and the utility has to credit it back to you. For example, at night, when the solar panels aren't working, you can get that credit back, and that can take care of your bill. Now, most of the utilities around here, that goes away at the end of the month, and it starts again the next month. But also, some of the rural electric co-ops do have a year-long one. And I would say that BPUs is a year-long, and that's an advantage if you're in Wyandotte County. That means you could possibly get a couple of extra panels or save even a little more money up there. They have a very nice net metering agreement there. So anyway, we start that, and we do all the paperwork with the utility. Also, we send the utility the engineering specs so they can look at, you know, the electrical things and know that it's, you know, up to code and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, in the meantime, then we're getting the equipment together, getting it ordered. And then we're going to give you a call and go, hey, when's a good day for us to start? And you don't have to be there for the whole show while we're putting it on, but we do want you to be there at the beginning. And again, double check. This is where we're putting it. This is what we're doing. Can we put the truck here? Is that okay? You know, just checking things like that. And, you know, then it'll take, you know, I'm not going to say how long it's going to take. Each job is a little different, and we have, you know, weather. You know, within a week or so, you know, you're going to have the solar up. Then we have to get the electrician out, get that taken care of. And then the utility has to come out and inspect it. And a lot of times people are like, hey, when can I get started?
We got a call. A caller, you're on the air. Will you give me your first name and the part of the city you're calling from, please? You want to check that caller? Hang on just a second. Okay. Well, while we're working on our difficulties here with this call, I'll go ahead and have you continue.
Right. And so at that point in time, you know, get the panels up, the electrician's been out, then we need to wait till the utility gets out there. That could be a week or two, just it's, you know, based on their schedule, it's out of our hands.
Right.
They come out, and then they give the okay, and then the system can be turned on. And, you know, that's a great moment. We just had a couple, Sierra Club couple, down in Overland Park, and they had it turned on last month. And, you know, so far they've not used any of their own electricity over a month's time. So, I mean, she's very happy.
I'm going to try it once more to see. Caller, are you there? If you are, let me have your first name and the part of the city you're calling from, please.
Yes, blind guy from the Villa Incognito in Midtown.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you, blind guy?
Mr. Solar Man, now don't laugh at this, because how many light bulbs can a blind man turn on and use? I even unscrew the light bulb in the refrigerator. But would it behoove me to use solar? I mean, my average bill is $22 a month.
Do you live in Missouri or Kansas?
Missouri.
Okay. You live in Missouri, and your bill is $22 a month. Well, let me pick apart your bill a little bit. KCP&L has a charge, I'm trying to remember, it's either like $9 or $12 a month for just the just having your electricity on. So does your $22 include the service fee?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would say for you, no. Because there'd just be only a couple of panels, and with the cost of the inverter, for you, it'd be better to spread the word to others. And then, you know, do you have all LED light bulbs in your abode?
You don't have any light.
I very seldom turn on a light bulb.
Gotcha.
There.
Okay.
I'm still using the old fluorescent in a couple of fixtures, but most of them are incandescent on dimmer switches for the mood.
If you want, and I take your point, if you did want to take it down a notch or two from KCP&L, you could go out and get some LEDs and, you know, take it down a little further, just watch your appliances. But no, you know, on $22 a month, I would definitely say solar would not be the best way to go.
Well, I always wondered because I had relatives at Kitty Hawk when that plane took off, and typical of my family, they yelled, get a horse.
Blind guy.
Peace out.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir, for calling. Appreciate you. That number is 816-931-5534. 816-931-5534. And Brian Klein, if I was the salesman, I'd sell you houses. I'd sell you some panels. I'd have you put them all over your house just telling me it was going to work. Okay, so I got my panels on now. Let's go with the costs for me. Now, one reason, people, that I wanted him here today to talk is because when you go buy panels outright and get your home fixed, you know, even though they got the rebates and you heard him talking about it, it can get up there to $20,000 or more. I've even heard them go, depending on the size of your home, up to $30,000. You can go $30,000 in debt just to get some solar panels on your home. But with this leasing plan, it's no money down.
Correct. No money down, and that includes installation. The warranties are all covered. The bank's responsible for that. So really the only cost is the next month when the lease starts. But again, the lease is going to take the place of all that electricity that you're not being charged for by your local utility. So you should be breaking even or even putting a few dollars in your pocket. But then the great thing is when that lease is gone, you don't have a lease payment anymore. And then we're seeing projections where homeowners, you know, could save over the 25-year life of the panels, $20,000 to $30,000.
That's unbelievable. Now, you know, gang, I'm working on this over in Wyandotte County, and I went to the low-income community. I went with people of color because I wanted to see, you know, how those banks are when they know how they treat people of color. So I wanted to see how it was going to work, and I went and got my good friend Joe Jennings, who many of you have heard even here on my show, who is he has an 8-acre organic farm over there in Wyandotte County. And so Bill went over and took Joe through all these steps that he's telling you about, and lo and behold, Joe has been accepted. They'd be over there right now probably putting solar on his house. But he had to go out of town for a funeral. But it was fantastic to see him go through this process. And I remember sitting in the house, and if I'm not mistaken, I may be off on these figures. I won't be low. I may be high. I might be low. But I think it came back that his electric bill, once the panels was installed, was going to be the difference between like $1,000 he was paying BPU cut down to either $600 or $700 a month. When I heard that figure said to him, it just caught my attention. That is fabulous. You can't beat that. That's fantastic.
And Joe, after looking at it, is trimming the tree on the southeast side of his property, because what we're looking at is actually putting some more panels on there. Now, we do have to get one of our guys out there, do some measurements, take a look at it and everything.
Okay.
But, you know, there's a possibility Joe may be even saving more money, but, you know, we're going to check with that when Joe gets back to town.
Okay, we have another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the line. Let me have your first name and the part of town you're calling from, please.
Leanne, I'm in Lenexa.
Ma'am, go ahead, Leanne. What's your question?
Well, when he said that those panels are good for 25 years, what if you had to, and I'm assuming that goes right on your roof shingles, what if you have to have your roof replaced?
That's a great question, Leanne. We get that quite a bit. The panels do not go directly on the roof. There's actually a racking system that goes on your roof, and then we put the panels on top of that. What we see is the shingles underneath solar panels do not age as quickly. They do not get the amount of moisture, the amount of sunlight, even wind. So they will not age as quickly. So number one, you generally do not have to shingle over it as often. And the other part is because the racking system raises it up off the roof, you can actually reshingle under that. It's a little slower, but it certainly can be done. Now, if you're getting your entire roof replaced, that would be an entirely different matter. And at that point, we would undo the whole rail system, unplug it like that. But generally, it's not as much of a problem as you would think. And let me just, while we're at it, since we're dealing with Kansas and Missouri, on hail, the panels are rated for 1-inch hail at 100 miles an hour. So your roof is going to be shot before the panels would be.
So,
okay, that's interesting. And I missed the beginning of the show. I mean, is there a website or something we can go to find out your information?
Sure. You could go to, I would go to Facebook, actually, is I think the easiest. You could go to Cromwell Solar on Facebook and just look at that. And there's, you tool around, there's some really great shots of like a drone looking in as the panels are being put up. You can see testimonials on there, you know, just a whole lot of things there. I'd say that's the best one to go to the way media is now. It'd be the easiest because you get to see all the great pictures. It's actually more up to date than the website because the Facebook gets changed quite a bit and you get to just see, you know, what's going on there right now.
Right. Cromwell, Cromwell.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling in, Leanne. Anyone else out there while we got time? That's 816-931-5534. Bill would love to answer your question. 816-931-5534. That was a good question about the roof situation and having to change it. But you said that if it need be, they were in the process of changing their whole roof. You all would come back and pick that rack up and take care of that?
Yeah, that could be done. You know, obviously there'd be a fee because that wasn't in part of the warranty if you're having the roof done. But, yeah, I mean, the guys could come out, you know, take it off, move it off site, put a roof on, and then put it back. But generally what we're seeing is, you know, as far as reshingling, we're just not seeing a lot of that because of the protection it does.
Right,
there.
Well, when she's talking 25 years,
yeah.
I mean, in 25 years we could probably pretty much figure that there's going to have to be some type of maintenance provided up there on that roof. So that was a good question, Lee. Now, as far as that word maintenance, is there any maintenance that you are aware of or you all have discovered?
And that's a great question as far as maintenance. There's no maintenance with solar panels. There's really no moving parts. You know, compared to like wind, you know, some folks go, well, maybe I want to get a small wind generator, and they live out in the country where that could be an option. And I like wind just about as much as anybody, but small wind generators, they have so many moving parts, then you're going to need someone to repair it. Mm-hmm. The solar, there's no moving parts, and so you don't have all these issues there. So there's really no maintenance. It's just plug in, and you just kind of forget about it. Just like you could kind of forget about your electric bill.
Okay, tell me about the converter. Do you all put the converter on?
Oh, you mean the inverter?
Inverter.
Yeah, the inverter is part of the whole solar installation. The inverter simply changes the electricity the solar puts out, which is DC, direct current.
Explain that.
It's direct current that comes out of the solar panels. And, of course, our system in the United States uses alternating current. So the inverter essentially inverts it and changes it to AC electricity. It also does a couple other things in there. It has safety mechanisms that the utilities need in case there's a power outage.
Okay.
And then it also will show you how much energy you're putting out that day, that month, and that year.
Hold on. We have another caller. Caller, you on the air. May I have your first name and the part of town you're calling from, please?
It's Randy, and I'm from Sibley, Missouri.
All right.
And what I've noticed is a lot of my neighbors have the, and we're on acreages here, and we've got a lot of neighbors that have very large panels, and they set out, like Bill mentioned, to the southeast that's facing that direction. My existing bill for the Kansas City Power and Light is about $200 to $225 per month. And I just have questions on what is the lease payment, and I've already stated what my existing bill is. How does all that work?
And it was Randy, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. A couple of questions with you, Randy. In Sibley, one thing we would have to look at is with KCP&L, there is some rebate money left in certain areas, but the only way we can tell that is actually digging in on the account number. So one thing we would do is do some investigating with your particular account and see if there's rebate money left. And the reason I ask about rebate money is the lease I am talking about is only available in Kansas right now. It's not available in Missouri. So we would want to be looking at a it'd have to be a purchase scenario where you would get a rebate and the tax credit if you're on the Missouri side.
Okay, but gotcha. His concern with all my neighbors, and I see so many of these located around, so apparently they're just purchasing outright, that there was not a lease in the prior situation.
I would assume so, without knowing each particular people involved, but probably that it was a purchase, possibly using some rebate money. Although again, you would have to check with them. But out where you're at, where there's a little more in the wide open, if they have the larger garages or the larger flat roofs, you can certainly get a nice return on your money there, even with a purchase.
Well, Bill, these are all freestanding, and they're very large. It looks like a bleacher section from a high school football game or something.
Okay, and that, just to be clear, Randy, that is on someone's private property?
Yes, sir. Yes,
right.
Sir.
Okay, yeah.
And excuse me, Bill, for interrupting you, but it's all on, these are all 10 and 100-acre properties,
sure.
And they're very, very numerous. There's so many of them that's popped up. Excuse me, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, it's interesting, and it's not an issue. That's called a ground mount system, which, it's just put on the ground. Those cost a little more because you do have to dig down and, pour some concrete and the structure and all that. It's not a huge amount more money, but it does cost a little more. So if you're doing a ground mount, you do want a larger system to kind of water down that extra you're putting in for the support system there. So 8, 10, 15 kilowatt systems make more sense. And by the way, if you see four panels, that's basically the equivalent of 1 kilowatt. So if you see a neighbor with 40 panels, they basically have 10 kilowatt system.
Okay. And a normal, say a 3,000 square foot house, what kilowatts would it consume?
Well, you kind of mentioned it. You said your utility bill was around $200 and some.
Correct, yes.
Okay, and you're on KCP&L. That's
yes,
roughly,
sir.
About 11.